certainly I saw the Honourable Ambrosini here earlier, and I'm sure that Mandy, I'm not sure of your surname because you introduced yourself as Mandy. Mandy? Barley. Will be able to contact him so that he returns. This is a very short meeting. Everything is familiar to us, including the minutes. So, as you see, our practice now has been to get hold of the minutes as soon as possible, which you do have. We are doing our best to try and get them to everyone earlier, though. So we've got the minutes from the 25th of February. Well, I've got the 25th, and I don't have the 24th right now. We have the 24th, the 25th, and the 2nd of March. If we look at the agenda and so on, 4:30, we originally had to 6 o'clock. We do put till 6 o'clock on principle, just to ensure people don't book flights in case something crops up. But in fact, today will be a short meeting, and it'll well, it's let me make it very clear. I'm a short person, and I think most people would agree with that. My physical height is very short, and so I speak in relation to that. So the meeting itself will be very short, yes. I don't even crack jokes anymore to cut the length of the meeting. So I thought that appeals to most of you. But immediately we're going to go over to the minutes, the 24th of February. I don't have, just before we go over there, I don't have any apologies, and that worries me because we generally have apologies from members who are not here, so I'm not sure if you received any. So we don't have any other apologies. The 24th, page 1. I prefer not to, considering we've had two differences of opinion before, so this will be very fast, though. Page 1, fine. Page 2. Page 3. These were fairly long minutes, as I'm sure you're aware. We talk Gothica. Can we now have somebody to propose the adoption? And of course it will be someone who was present at that meeting to propose adoption. No, someone who was present. Present. No. Honourable Hadebe, thank you very much. Honourable Kotsi proposes the adoption, seconded by Honourable Hadebe. Thank you. Honourable Kamala?
Thank you, Chairperson. No, let's, while we are on the minutes, let's ask, request once again that in future the minutes should be numbered. Lastly, we agreed when we did speak to our secretary, but it's still not numbered. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We said there should be a footer indicating on every page the date and the page number. Thank you. And let's note that in the minutes. The next set of minutes will be the 25th of February, a Thursday. And just to remind Professor the Honourable Turok, you were present then. Page 1. Page 1. Very short minutes, as you can see. Page 2. Am I to understand, Honourable Kamala, that the point you made in the last set of minutes remains for this as well, about page numbers, etc. These are not numbered either.
The person, yes, they is not numbered. But I'm also looking at the attendance register of people that were present on that day. I'm wondering, because I'm not appearing, I'm also not appearing on the apologies, of which is very strange to me. If I wasn't attend, I did not attend, I should have sent apologies. But none of where I'm appearing. As
I wanted to just add, Honourable Kamali, you're quite right, you weren't present, but you did send an apology. I said, but she did send an apology. No, we know your commitment and enthusiasm, so that was fine. Can we have somebody present to propose? Thank you, Honourable Turok. Proposed, seconded by somebody who was present, seconded by Honourable Khadebe. Right, that's the 24th and 25th. And please note on both, we would like a footer with a page number. The 2nd of March, just last week, we had almost everyone present, page 1. Page 2. Page 3. Thank you very much. Can we now have somebody present to propose the adoption? Right. Is that Honourable Lyne that I see there? Yes. Proposing and seconded by the Honourable Mabaso. Thank you. I just want to say one thing about the minutes. We have requested that the change in style which we adopted last year is implemented, but we thought the substance was here, so we would leave it and implement that in the next set that you see. Thank you very much. So, thank you, Honourable Mabaso.
Right, I thought I should comment on the chair to say accept the paging. We should express appreciation to the secretariat for the job well done, because you know it's rare where minutes get adopted without the serious amendments. It's like, all I'm saying is that keep up the good work, the secretariat.
Yes, I must say that these minutes we're all in agreement on, and that's helpful as well. Thank you. I should have just said we're very pleased to see an alternate member of the committee, the Honourable Hajjaj, here with us today. I hope that you will, of course, join us more frequently as time allows, because we have, as you know, others who are members of these cystic committees who sometimes we have a clash with them. Thank you very much. Thank you, Honourable Maria. We're pleased to see you. Can we now move on? And what could be described as record timing, onto the next item on the agenda. I do know that most of us would like to see the end of the gambling, but we need to go through process and procedure. If you look at this report on gambling that we have before us, it happens to be the second draft, and the reason it is the second draft, we will ask Ms. Herling to speak to, just to alert you to those areas that have been added to since the first draft. Secondly, I can say before she comments that, as you know, for the first time you'll be seeing the report from those who were on the site visit, the Grand West, and as this is the first time you've seen the report in writing, we thought it advisable in a formal setting to ensure you all were able to read it before deliberating on it, so that you can consult with your respective parties on the matter. And finally, in that regard, issues that are flagged, some of them represent one or two concepts for recommendations referred to by yourselves, but we are not taking a decision, and I should make this clear, so that any recommendations still outstanding. I know that the IFP had a recommendation, and it's unfortunate that Honourable Ambrosini made a hasty retreat, because I'm not sure how we will just remind him on this matter. Otherwise, all the other parties are represented here, other than PAC, and Honourable Mpashileli has already indicated he is covered by the report. So just, can you speak to this, please, Ms. Hurling?
The second draft has included an additional section of 3.6 on page 6 for the input from the implementing agencies, DTI, NGB, NRCS, and FIC. And then under 3.7, recommendations emerging from the submissions, there are additional recommendations included from the implementing agency side, page 8 to 10, primarily under interactive gambling. And then finally, section 4, the site visit to Grand West Casino has been included.
So just to refresh your memories, page 6. We have already looked at the rest, so we're referring you to page 6 in particular. Page 6, input from the implementing agencies. Now we're going over that paragraph by paragraph. As you see there, the Department of Trade and Industry, submission focused on the evolution of gambling legislation, etc. Second paragraph there simply, once again, is a chronological order of events that took place. And then the last point there on that page, 3.6.2, the NGB, the National Gambling Board. You see there the point made about the formulation of a new bingo policy, which was referred to by themselves. I just want to remind members that that was not the only thing that we spoke about as being reviewed or revised. There were issues such as horse racing. We never did do a site visit there. And there was also, I'm not mistaken, but one of you can just correct me, what I call the one-armed bandits or something. What are these things, the technical name for one-armed bandits? Okay, so the machines, yeah. Okay. So that's, I should just remind you, is that also something called limited payout machines, Ms. Hurling? Okay. So I just would like you to please just read that very carefully there. Are we all on board there? Page 6. And then we need, or we should be able to move to the next, but I am looking at you to see when you raise your heads, which would be an indication that you have read that. Well, as we said, we worked from 3.6, the implementing agency, 3.6.1, which was a history, background, etc., and then the National Gambling Board, when we reach the end of page 6. Moving on to page 7, references to horse racing, as we said. The query that I would put to you for you to consider is, for example, at the top, the first paragraph on page 7, it refers us to the NGB informed the committee that the horse racing activities are broadly defined within that and would require detailed amendments as well as the development of policy. You will recall that we ourselves did not engage directly on that. Some of you will recall we didn't. So I don't know if you want to flag that for something in the future, you see, to not this minute, not even before in this report, but perhaps for a researcher to look at. All right, then you have on page 7, 3.6.3. Yes?
Can I just ask for clarity, Madam Chair? On page 7, the second paragraph, we refer to this, is this Fahif, or how do you pronounce that? That second paragraph, it says the economic impact of the Fafi. Fafi form of gambling.
Yes, Fafi game.
What is it? Just refresh my memory. What is Fafi?
Well, as far as I recall, it's something played on the pavement, but maybe.
Okay. No. The other question just that we have raised is, and my colleague Honourable Van der Westhuizen has raised that with regards to how we can, and I don't know, maybe Ms. Herling can tell me whether that's in the report somewhere, in terms of where you have addicted players. I incidentally had a mail this morning from someone that sent this letter to Helen Zeller, thought that she can do something. She obviously just referred it to me, where the family member said all of their credit cards are just used for gambling, and this person is a major problem, and this family member and everybody in the family is now in financial problems. What can they do? And there's actually nothing that we can tell them what to do. And I think that was an issue that was raised, and I don't know the answer, but it's something that we will probably have to flag, similar to what we've done in terms of the liquor and smoking, those warnings, and in terms of legislation to protect people against that. Also the family members as well, affected members.
See, Honourable Maria, that on page 13, when we get to that, one of the issues, we're talking about the socio-economic impact. I don't want to preempt what one says there, but I think your point is clearly made, and the committee did make that. But let us perhaps just wait until we reach there. Page 7, but I don't know if anyone else had a different understanding of Farsi. I personally thought it was what was drawn up on the pavement, and you paid with a few bottle tops, but then if you won, you got money and one thing and another. But some of you who, I don't know, Mrs. Honourable Cotsey, if you know any better, but we could get our researcher to just look it up so that we're quite clear. Yes, Honourable Mabasa.
Fafi is a game where it's also called China, in another language. So that's where. It's usually played mostly by Chinese people, but mostly in a township setting. And then they will come, they have their stations where they play. They move from one station to another station. But at one station, the community members will get together there, and then they will write on a board. I think the numbers start from number 1 up to number 36 or so. So each number has that number 1, or it has a full name. If it's number 1, it's also called King. If it's number 10, it's called Duff. then Amajuba, then they will play maybe with two rands, but if they win, then the Chinese person will have to pay, let's assume it's 100 rands or 200 rands. So if they lose those 10 rands, 2 rands, 2 rands, 2 rands, or 10 rands, 10 rands, 10 rands. So I don't know whether that suffices, but I can go beyond this if...
I think as we were not planning to go gambling, that is sufficient. I think we have an understanding then of it. Yeah, right. But thank you, Honourable Mabaso. We then get to that last paragraph just before 3.6.3, which refers, and you're going to be reading this at length yourself, but just to point out things that you may wish to be alerted for recommendations tomorrow, the revisiting of key issues, the proposed tax issues there, the maximum credit limit, player registration, and the concept of the e-wallet. You'll recall that is having it online, as it were. We move then to the National Regulator for Compulsory Specifications. And you will remember that currently a lot of these issues differ from province to province and from province to national in certain respects. I think that's a certain areas that was a reference to, and the costs involved for those who were providing that service. The Financial Intelligence Centre gave us some time back, but again it refreshed our memories about the money laundering and their challenges in that regard, and I think that's fairly fresh in your memory. Then page 8, the recommendations emerging from the submissions, 3.7. These aren't our recommendations. Now, I hope you have a clear understanding of that. These are the recommendations made by the industry players and concerned parties. They're not ours per se, and you may need to decide how you want to deal with that. The vulnerable groups are referred to yet again, and the poor, you see that coming up here. The promotion of gambling and how it should be handled, perhaps phased out. Need for research to be handled cautiously. And the emphasis should be on curbing gambling rather than promoting it. The strict enforcement of penalties is dealt with. And also that staff involved in this should be quite clear and understand the regulations in that industry themselves. The relevant sections that need to be amended in terms of the process for applying for certification, that's related to the differences, and then the fact that the NGB should develop regulations that are aligned to the Regulation Act and the National Gambling Board, so that compulsory specifications and related apparatus only cover safety matters and not performance. The casino industry, you should also look up your own notes in this regard, and the limited payout machines. Now, yes, Honourable Mabasa?
Colleague Chair? I don't know whether on 3.7.2 there, do we want to keep it as a singular regulation, or was it meant to be a plural regulations? That's the one part. And then on the next one, where you on 3.7.3, I propose that we also have it in full, the abbreviation. Thanks, colleague.
I think that was clear there, and we have then the Honourable Kotsi, followed by the Honourable Njikalana.
On the same page, on 3.7.1 at bullet 5, is that supposed to be promotion of gambling is done away with? It says it's done way.
It should be away with, you know, not done way, yes. Okay, fine. The industry's recommendations, I hope that that's quite clear. Honourable Njikalana? I think you need to look at this very hard about their requests here that the LPM industry, or rather the point we're making, with rather it's their recommendations again, about what the stake should be. They made that recommendation on the light of the changed value of the 5 rand and 10 rands, etc., and 500. If you're trying to do away with it, you may want to leave it as it is. Otherwise, you may want to be realistic and consider what it is they are saying. The other issue is a rather important one on 9, the issuing of LPM site licenses, the first bullet on page 9, should consider the local authority's comments where zoning is unavailable and taverns operating for more than 10 years should be eligible. This would entail an amendment to section 56. The point that was made in that regard is not so much that gambling would be promoted, but rather that there were exclusionary clauses unwittingly built in, as it were. So you may wish to look at that, considering that casinos, of course, themselves provide alcohol at any rate. And then it goes on to look at the Land Use Management Act. I don't want to call it irregularities, but there were anomalies between that act, the clauses and regulations there, and in fact what was in gambling itself, which may need to be reviewed. The Business Act to exclude gambling electronic equipment, however, this would need to be done at provincial level, as the act has been assigned to each province. So again, we find the differences between the different provinces, provincial and national competencies. Affected taverners should be granted an LPM license if they can prove that they are awaiting approval for a permanent liquor license, on condition that the LPM will lapse if the liquor license approval is unsuccessful. A number of these issues simply relate to the rationalisation there with respect to that industry operating in former townships, or still called townships by many. And then I'm not too sure here about the exclusion, the last bullet, to comply with the strict national exclusion register requirements guidelines due to excessive regular trade requirements and limited resources. I think it's... For myself, I didn't look this up again, so I must confess I didn't do that part of the homework successfully. Some of you may have done that. I'm looking around at researchers, I'm looking around at those who study their documents, and even Ms. Hurling. Can that be clarified on Thursday, unless someone's going to enlighten us right now? Does anyone know what that last bullet refers to directly? No. The interactive gambling is what led us to this lengthy exercise. And those you have seen before on pages and pages, they now all bulleted. What you should begin to do is to look at this. This is 3.7, meaning you're still looking at recommendations emerging from the submissions. These are submissions received from the industry players. So what you see here under interactive gambling is what was put here, not by ourselves per se, but the comments made by industry. I hope that's very clear. And what we need to decide is what is going to be there from our side and what we are going to simply state without taking on board as a recommendation. So you really need to study that, because this document is being finalized on Thursday, this report. One of the points I can just draw your attention to, which was made and we may remember, is that casinos made the point generally that they had to comply with so many more requirements, economically speaking, and on the social side. And there seemed to be a whole open gate to interactive gambling that they didn't, you know, these virtual casinos, in inverted commas, didn't help not have to comply with. So the expenditure to set up a casino was therefore much higher. That's basically the point they were making, and we're then going to make less money. But as I say, one must look at it as a two-sided coin. Perhaps this will provide them with competition, so that may have been the real reason. Bingo, we've dealt with that. Manufacturers of the gambling equipment. One of the points that was put forward here was that they could make this locally, and then that would employ labor, workers. The advertisements. This was something you took up very strongly as a committee. The fact that operations that were considered illegal in our legislation were still advertised, not simply in the press, but on in the TV, as it were, electronic stations owned by the government itself, or certainly with a major shareholding. And I think that that needs to be effectively studied. I don't know if you want to raise anything on page 10 with respect to advertisements.
Madam Chair, just what I've also picked up lately is sponsorships from them. Sponsorships from interactive gambling operators. So obviously we must look at sponsorships as well, similar to what the government has looked at sponsorship of cigarettes and things like that. Because, I mean, if you can't ban the advertisement but allow the sponsorship, and that is probably the best way of advertising.
Here, which says subsection 17.5 might be unconstitutional in that there are mechanisms in place for the public to opt out regarding unsolicited messages. This issue might as well be dealt with by the Direct Marketing Association of South Africa. Just check on that. There are also actual far more definitive points under the phrase "on its own accord," which calling for the deletion of that, and then also the reference to public awareness on the dangers of gambling, and further information and comment on public awareness as well. The point you made just now about what can be done. Something that I think is new in here for the first time, but you'll tell me, Ms. Hurling, is signage. Is that, it's been there before, has it? Right. You know, with respect to minors under interactive gambling in particular, and in the casinos, what could be done there? And some of the points are made here. Slot machines, for example, should not be placed near venues that are frequented by children. You know, schools, I don't know, fairgrounds, that kind of thing. Signage. The minimal size and the prominent positioning of signs indicating under 18s are not allowed, especially on interactive gambling sites, etc. We then come to the site visit, which we said is there for you to read. You've never seen it before in writing. Thanks, Honourable
Mabazu. I'm not sure whether I'm taking you back on the chair on the one that we're just reading on the signage, that if we could include... For an example, we say especially on interactive gambling websites, but I think we should also include physical sites. I think you implied that because it's both. Yeah, that's what I would propose, Colleague Chair. I don't have the wording.
Oh.
corrected, colleague chair, that the point I'm raising is already covered. Let me withdraw the point.
I'm going to deal with the grand list now because, as I say, it is the first time you've seen it in writing, and you can, it's there for you to look at, examine, and come back on the issue. So can we just leave that alone for the moment and then move to not the conclusion which applies to the Grand West, but to the issues that are flagged. Now, the issues flagged here are issues that have come up in the last time in which we held a deliberation and looked at draft one. But quite clearly, you may wish to raise other issues. In particular, we took a position, you will recall at the last meeting, that in view of the independent study commissioned by the Department of Trade and Industry, what we would do is to consider this a preliminary report, these findings that we have. We would then wait for that report. We would then study that report, which may well be wanting in certain areas or exactly what we may have wanted, and we will then deliberate again. But what we are looking for here is a report that will go in now. We have completed the public hearings. The department is undertaking a study, and we reserve almost certain recommendations on the basis of studying that report itself. But there are certain points here that quite clearly we already wish to make as a recommendation. And I think one needs to look at that first one there, the disparity of rules in the lotteries that was made. That's a reality. It's something that a study won't even illuminate. It's there. And how do we tackle that? The second thing, which is quite clear, and that the study may only offer a view on as to how it could be addressed, is the fact that the national and provincial legislation needs to be reviewed for closer alignment, and exactly how should this be done more effectively, and also the interprovincial different regulations and legislation in that regard. Should they not perhaps be brought into alignment under a national piece of legislation? The other point which has been raised in the report are the different requirements for bingo and horse racing when compared to casinos and other forms of gambling, and then, of course, the LPM industry. So the idea would be to, under recommendations, to look at what the industry has also recommended. You may also agree with some of that or simply note it as what they have put forward. And then under recommendations, your first paragraph there would be the findings so that people are aware of the study, and then you would come into recommendations. But before you come to the recommendations, you may want to have a paragraph which looks at our findings, which aren't necessarily recommendations, but these are our findings in this regard. So we're not at this stage making them or turning them into a recommendation, because we're waiting to see what the study also reveals. Now, I'm putting that on the table as I understand that that is your position. Honourable Khadebe, followed by Honourable Mabaso.
Honourable Chairperson, I agree with the part whereby you say we cannot even say findings, we say our observations from the public hearings, so that we cannot commit ourselves to the final product you are going to recommend.
I think that's a very good point that has been made, because the observation may be qualified once we read, consult the study or scrutinise it, yes. Thank you. So we'll note that. Honourable Abbaso.
Correct, Chair. I thought on that paragraph, the paragraph immediately under number 5, what you were saying verbally should also be expressed in a written form. when you indicated that we are not yet, although now I'm saying it more awkwardly than you said it, but where you were implying that we are not necessarily making recommendations now, we are awaiting the report, the investigation, you know, so that it's very explicit, because as it is our understanding, but for an objective reader, that may not necessarily come out.
I think that's really also a very fair and valid comment. So there is a fair amount of work that would still be done now on the support, but in substance it won't change much. You know, any observation you want to make that you believe was not captured in the report, please contact Ms. Herling directly in the first instance, just so that she can capture it directly. And then when it comes to recommendations, it would also be helpful if these could have been in writing, so that as we are, you know, as we go to Ms. And sent to Ms. Herling, so as we come to committee, they are already in the computer for us to deliberate on. Can I request that from all parties? So we send them along. We all know that these are the new ones coming in italics, and we deliberate on it. Are we happy with that arrangement? Well, you see, as Thursday is the day we are either going to adopt the report or not, I would imagine by tomorrow, you know, sometime 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock at the latest, because Mr. Herman, I should have said right at the beginning for those who did not know, is ill today. His way with flu's finally caught up with him, so he's flown, and we are left here with Mandy, who is filling in very ably. Thank you very much. Anyway, so that's why I say Ms. Herling. It would more properly be Mr. Herman's and Mandy, but Mandy hasn't been dealing with this particular piece of work. So can we leave it like that?
In other words, you can send it to the email address of Mr. Herman's.
Herling, regrettably. I'm not sure when Mr. Herman's will be back. I can't guarantee he'll be back tomorrow. Do we have, and Ms. Herling is simply mherling@parliament.gov.za. Because I really think it would be unfair to bring in the new committee secretary, who's just the relief in on this at this moment in time, I think. I'm sure we're very pleased you hear that. Thank you. All right, members, this was not intended to go on and on. Although, as I say, we do always say until 1800, as a matter of course, for transport sometimes, we do want to finish as soon as possible. Is that our understanding, members, all of us on a Tuesday? Please remind members to bring with them tomorrow the 4 documents from DTI. I believe they were issued today. Now, and of course, a reminder to Amanda that can you make sure these another set is given, perhaps to the Honourable Maria to give to Honourable van der Westhuizen. And I think you don't need an extra set, do you, Honourable Khadebe? Who's Honourable Turok's got his set? I mean, we've got sufficient, have we? Right. And just make sure that the Honourable Impash Lely has a set, and the IFP in their offices, because I don't see any of them here today. The other point that needs to be made, which Mr. Hermans will be informed of when he comes back, but I want to alert you, if you look at the schedule, I've asked everyone to be given a colour one, but I don't know if you did, is that on the 16th, and I hope the Honourable Khadebe, who was at Manco, will just confirm this with me, because I just want to make sure I don't make a mistake on the program. On the 16th, we're not going to have a committee meeting. Is that correct?
Yes.
And we need to inform Mr. Hermans about that, so it's taken off the ATC or whatever it is. You're aware of that, aren't you? Right. But on Wednesday the 10th, we're finishing, unfortunately, it does say here, are we finishing at 13:30? Wednesday the 10th, I'm just looking for the program, that's tomorrow. Let's see, Wednesday the 10th. Now I'm looking, where is the latest one? I'm tired of having it. Is this the latest? Okay, the 10th. But when we get to Friday the 19th, Friday the 19th, we are reliably informed that there's too little time to complete that work. 19th, yeah. It is far too little. There are too many issues in trade. And so we've put down 2 o'clock there, Friday. On Tuesday the 23rd, that stays the same. I'm just trying to keep you right in the picture. But one of the days, which was this Thursday, is it? We said we may have to sit until much later. I'm also looking at the Manco to confirm that. On Thursday, it's become clear that people who are coming on the 16th, or who we wanted to come on the 16th, we are now inviting to the Thursday, the 11th. Is that correct, Ms. Herling? And they include people from the metros. You will remember the committee members said the problem is buses are being bought from overseas instead of manufactured in the country. You all said this. All the parties complained. The same with the rail, the same with coaches, etc., etc. So the Manco took a decision, well, let's get the metros here to respond to this and hear exactly what they intend doing in the future and how long these contracts are running for. Otherwise, it does not link and align itself with EPUB. Other people who've been invited there is the Department of Transport and the Department of Public Enterprises, if I'm correct. And then, of course, also the passenger and rail agency. So because those are vitally important, transport, and they seem to have perhaps been caught off guard here on the hop with these other contracts that were signed, we can't leave that alone. It's an integral part of EPUB transport. And therefore, we do need to hear from them how soon they can change their business plans, revise them if necessary, or what other measures are being taken. So as a direct result of that, Thursday is going to probably get me blackballed here, but I have requested the whip to look on it kindly, and you know that comment about being blackballed is in a committee, some committee you want to join and then they don't want you, so they put in the black ball. But they don't want to tell you to your face, you see. So they just all get little balls. Okay. You can tell it's obviously a very European issue. But can we please work until 8 o'clock on Wednesday? Oh, sorry, on Thursday. Now, I see some smiles. Thursday the 11th. I need to get that buy-in, because if we don't get that buy-in, it's very difficult to see where else we're going to make it up. There's nowhere else to make it up. There's absolutely nowhere else. I'm sure you've looked at our program. Is there any comment, or do you want to reserve your comment till tomorrow morning? Honourable Kotze? Yeah. Speak kindly to the leader of your party.
I'll reserve my comment until tomorrow morning, Chair. I think I have...
Madam Chair, so in other words, will we have then a more detailed new proposed program by tomorrow that we can finalize that. Because just my question on the 16th, are we still proceeding with our program as planned on the 16th, next Tuesday?
That's been cancelled, the whole meeting.
Okay.
Remember when we put the names down, we were hoping people could come and see how well we could stretch this out. But Ms. Herling is going to be in the absence of Mr. Hermans. He hopes to be here at some point tomorrow to assist there. And you'll be able to give us feedback, I'm sure, at some point in the morning.
And the idea is to scrap the 16 totally. Yes. Yeah.
Debe?
Honourable Chairperson, I think that the issue was cancelled late on Thursday. It will be fine because we cancelled Friday. Not the sitting next week on Tuesday again.
We haven't
yet. So what happens is that those people which we need, they are very critical for what we are doing. Let's make an example. The taxi recap program has been running for years next. Where are those taxis being sourced from? Are they being made here? So if you really, I think that as this committee, you must ensure that what we speak about, that's what is done in the field. So I think that we really need those departments, in particular transport, to come and explain that. Because as you can make from the auto manufacturer industry, which was here last week, they highlighted the issue that is a very mode of transport, which is the taxis. They are not being made here. I know from the province where I come from. For the recap, they were going to China to go and modify Nyat. Whereas it means that we are going to create more jobs there than what we're doing here. So it's critical that because the industry itself has highlighted that problem, let's deal with it decisively. I think that for one, let us be decisive. Thank you, Chair.
I should have just said that the cherry on the top was that there's no Friday meeting on the 12th, you know, so at least that does release something for us. I know some of us are going to very difficult provinces to fly to and so on. So I hope that helps. I just hope it does. Yeah. Yes. Now, so I do hope, because EPUB is important and we really would like as many members as possible to be here. But having said that, we do know there was a I was asked to look at making certain press statements and so on, and we said that we would have a committee, a press briefing at some point on EPUB, and we will brief the committee in this regard, so it doesn't come out the blue. We're going to be closing. Yes, Honourable Mabasa.
I just forgot. I thought you were still on the previous point. If you could allow me to make one point, Comrade Chair. I'm proposing that unless we have done it already, that DTI also provides us, even if not necessarily now, with a list of things that are manufactured in South Africa. And even going beyond that, things that are manufactured in Southern Africa. You know, thanks, Comrade Chair.
I think that is something that they are working on in this regard. But let's just keep that in mind to make a formal request on the matter. We want to thank members of the committee for their patience today, those of us who were here, and we'll see you tomorrow. Just remember the adoption of the gambling report is on Thursday. Just let us remember that, please, members. And on Wednesday then we meet, where is it? Here, and it's EPUB. So it's public hearings, is that right? On the Revised Industrial Policy Action, plus the trade briefing, and that's an important document. I'm reliably informed by the Minister to get that briefing, and from our own researcher, who will brief us first on the fundamentals. Thank you very much, members, and the meeting is adjourned till tomorrow at 9 o'clock in this venue. Thank you.